I'm glad I learned to say, I love you. So I can say to my people, I love you. And thank God for every one of you. A pastor couldn't have more loyal people than I have. I am. So many little things. This morning, I was passing out the Lord's Supper stuff. The deacons. And I was loving them. As I always do when they walk down this aisle. Thank God for these men that have stood beside me. All across America, people say, well, you're having a deacon trouble. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. Last night we had our monthly deacons meeting, stayed there for over 2 hours, trying to transact the business of our church. You'd have thought we were a bunch of fellows out fishing each with each other. It's our lodge. It's our civic club. It's our night out. And as I was passing out the Lord's Supper stuff this morning, just a little thing. But Mr. Corbin, who I won to Christ years ago, just smiled gently. Now, that may not mean much to you, but it does to me. And I was watching you as you walked by yesterday. I want to share my thoughts with you for a while this morning. I watched young couples walk by as I realized the new. That we're a family. And I felt real family-ish yesterday morning. I watched young couples walk by. So a few days ago, it seems, were jumping on my knee, kissing my cheek, saying, I'm glad you're my preacher. I watched the clean-cut young man. And brother, never lose your faith. And wonder if there are any decent, honest, hard-working, clean-cut, patriotic young men left in America. You just come to the First Baptist Church for a while. They can say what they want to say about us. Brother, about the only time that our young people, I'm talking about the young people that come Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, about the only time our young people ever end up in the court. Or because they made some mistake in trying to help little bus kids. And spank one too hard or jerk one's arm a little harder than he thought he should. I was watching the clean-cut young men. I watched a few come by that were on the ball team. And I used to have enough time. Oh, before we got so many things around here. But I never thought I'd be an undertaker and a college president But I used to have a little Saturday morning ball team. A league, rather. We got a league of 4 teams. We met out here at Riverside Park every Saturday morning about 9 o'clock. And had games. I watched those little boys come by. Not little boys anymore. They're men. Strong. Decent. Clean. Honorable. Dedicated. Patriotic. Chase, young man, and I loved him. I watched the sweetest and purest and loveliest young ladies in the world walk by this casket yesterday. There's still some young ladies in America that know that the thigh should be reserved for one man. There's still some young ladies in America that don't go half naked showing the most sacred parts of their body to any old lustful eye and wicked evil mind that wants to gaze and commit mental adultery with them while they walk down the street. Bless God, there's still some left. And I thank God for them. Our young man looking for a wife. I'd come to First Baptist Church. I watched them come with their modesty, chastity, and purity. I looked at hundreds as they walked by and felt your burdens that you bear. I looked at people who walked by the casket yesterday, and I didn't know how you took another step. I watched some of you men who've given and given and given and given for our church and our schools. I watched you as you walked away, and I saw your shoes had holes in them. I have a new pair of shoes on this morning. Somebody mailed them to me. Mailed me three pair from down south. Somebody just mailed me three pair of shoes. Some of you fellows don't have anybody to mail shoes to you because you preach or across the country. And I loved you yesterday as you walked by, man. I felt your burdens. Some of you walked by and I looked at you and I knew you were sick yourself. I knew you had children who were sick and you didn't know if they'd ever get well. I knew you had heartaches and heavy loads to bear. I felt the anxiety of the aged as they walked by and looked in the face of what could die of our brother Salee. I felt the anxiety of you aged people who wonder if maybe it'll be you the next time. I felt the ache of those whose loved ones had only recently been taken. I shared with you your memories as you looked in the face of Mr. Salee. You didn't see his face. You saw the face of a baby that left your crib, or a child that left your table, or a husband that left your side, or a dear mother who's recently been taken. And I relived with you those experiences. I saw some tottering ones only a few years ago were in the thick of it. I saw some barely could walk who 16 and a half years ago when I came here were out in the thick of the activities. I love those of you whose lives are nearing the end. I saw some little ladies walk by who barely could walk a few feet without resting. And I loved you. Then I saw those, several of those who blessed my heart unusually much yesterday. I saw many of you come by who a few months ago were in deep sin. I got a poem the other day. A little girl just a few months ago, a teenage girl, over here in Calumet City, giving her life and her body to everything indecent and unholy. One of our own little girls grew up in our Sunday school here because of the devil. And I tell you what, brother, while we get the adult bookstores out of here and while we get the Calumet Theater out of here, would God we get these taverns out of here at the same time? Wrecking our young people, destroying our decency, ruining our purity. If you knew what I knew, you'd be against that kind of rotten stuff. This little girl grew up in our Sunday school here. Became a teenager, went off into sin, was deceived by the devil. The darkness of his bright lights and the filth of the backyard of that the devil has to offer and the end and all of it with its disease and sin and heartbreak. She called me from the hospital one day and she was just out gone. She came by to see me. And now she's a student at Hiles Anderson College. And the numbers of you I saw walk by. God bless old Frank Crawl. I'm so proud of him. I don't know what to do. Old Frank went into sin. Raised in our church, went into sin. Not old Frank, but young Frank. Old Frank's always been in sin. went into sin and his little children came to vacation Bible school and came home so happy and Frank and his wife have gotten right with God. Another day he brought 29 visitors one Sunday? 23 visitors one Sunday he brought to Sunday school. One of our kids. And I just had the biggest time. You know, I almost shouted at the funeral yesterday. I don't mean to shout at a funeral, but I almost shouted as I saw many of our young people who are now adults who had gone away for a while, but blessed be God that come back to God in decency. I saw the blind feel their way with a cane. walking by a pastor they'd never seen, and I loved them. I saw the death smile at a pastor whose voice they'd never heard, and I felt in many cases an I love you oozing from their hearts to mine. I saw the boys and girls that high walking by, and their eyes get big and look up at me and go like that, her smile. I watch little children look at me as if I were a combination of Muhammad Ali, Hank Aaron, and Evel Knievel. Boy, that's a combination. I saw the deaf come by and loved them. How often they see me in the hallway and say, I love you. As I watched you come by yesterday, and as the line was about finished, I said, dear God, I feel sorry for anybody that doesn't get to belong to a church like this. I feel sorry for anybody that doesn't feel the oneness and the joy. People often say, oh, I'd hate to go there. The honest, simple truth is, what you're looking for, you'd find here. Amen. I watched the mission men come by. You know, I never realized how much I love those ugly bunch of guys. Yes, I did, too. I watched them come by. Last night, I had an errand. Somebody had to run to Milwaukee for me. I let one of the mission men borrow my car, and he drove to Milwaukee. I gave him a little money, enough to buy him a hot dog. That's a beef wiener on a hot dog. Enough to buy him a hot dog. And he came to the church dressed up like a preacher going to with his Sunday go to meeting clothes on, we used to say in Texas. Went up to Milwaukee. Oh, how happy he was to get to do something for the preacher. That meant I didn't have a car, so I called another mission man. And I said, I need a ride home tonight. And you call a mission, boy, no grumbling there. I said, the Hammond City Rescue Mission. I said, it's Brother Hiles. Oh, yes, Brother Hiles. How are you? Fine. Look, I need a ride home. Be glad to take you home. And he came, and I rode home last night in a mission truck. Went outside, he said, I got a truck. Who gave it to him? George Randall. Yeah, one of our men. Gave him a truck, George, in the business, and he bought a new truck and gave us the old one. Some fellows have bought a new truck and kept the old one. but anyway, you can't even be nice around here and get by with it. But anyway, he said, I got another truck I want to ride you home in. And I said, where do I get it, in the back or up in the front? And he's very, very nice. I got to sit up in the front where the white folks sit. And so I sat in the front. And he was pleased to take me home. And I have to come early in the morning before everybody else in the house leaves, except Dave. And he came on, and I said, meet me out tomorrow morning. This morning at 7:15, doorbell rang. Mission man waiting for me to show me back up to the church. You know, I love some of those mission men like they're my own brothers. Yeah, you say, yes, so much of them. No, don't say that to me. Don't say that to me. No. I love old Jess. I love old Bill. I love Lou. All of them get a little honor every once in a while. And about once a year, old Bill has to have a little refreshment. And he's not going to have it anymore. He's going to find another place to live. But I get a little out of sorts sometimes. My heart breaks when one of them goes into sin. A mission man said to me one time, he said, Brother Hiles, I hate liquor too. And I hate it, and now I want you to preach against it, but you understand. He said, when I was 4 years old, my daddy gave me my first drink. And he said, Brother Hiles, he said, before I was 10, I'd been drunk many times. And he said, it's inside of me. I don't want to do it. I don't want to displease you, but I can't help it. And I loved the men for a while. And then while the teens or the little people looked at me as if I was Muhammad Ali, Hank Aaron, Evel Knievel, I watched the teenagers come by looking at me as if I were Methuselah. And then I watched my beloved deacons walk by. Larry Stromberg, just with a little smile and a quivering lip, spoke a volume to me. Men with whom I served and whom I've loved and who've helped me and stood beside me now for 16 years like rocks of Gibraltar. When the battles got rough, they just pulled out their guns and said, let's go shoot. Amen. And when we got broke, they just pulled out their checkbooks and said, let's go write. Men who tried to, last night at Deacon's meeting, one of the men said, we protect everybody else around here. He said, let's protect our most prized possession better. I know what he's talking about. He said, our preacher. I watched them come by, these good men. God bless them. You work as a deacon for me, boy. You got your hands full. They never know what kind of concocted idea I'm going to bring up. Did you ever hear a preacher call a deacon meet and say, I want to buy a grave, graveyard? Cemetery? Huh? John Penley suggests we buy the adult bookstore down here. I asked him what it's like inside. Wonder what kind of shape it's in. He didn't tell me. I stood there. I think over an hour. Afraid to be human. And unable enough to be. I watched those who stood unwaveringly by me through the years. I saw some whose faces seemed to say, everything's all right as long as I can see the preacher standing there. I shared your burdens for about an hour. I loved you. I relived funerals and weddings and prayed for you and felt my responsibility. I saw hundreds of people who only had one pastor in their entire lives. I'm all they've ever known as a pastor. And I felt anew that we're a family. Listen to me for a minute. Folks, let's don't ever quit being a family. Amen. Let's never be a big church. I'll never forget that little lady came from the church down the road here, not on Sibley, but other side of that downtown area. I won't tell you the name of it. They run about 350 or 400 in Sunday school. Came to visit our church one day. After the service, she came up and she said, I sure like your little church. We had 4,000 that day. I said, where do you go to church? She said, that big church down here. It a few miles away from here. Or several blocks anyway. Said that she didn't stop to think. They had 400 and we had 4,000. And she said, like your little church. And I said to myself as she walked away, I hope it's always that way. People write me letters from all over America. Said, I wanted to visit the church, the world's largest church. I wanted to visit. They write me and they say sweetly in the letters, I never dreamed it'd be like it was. I felt at home. And I felt like there was a oneness. And I felt like it was personal. And I felt like I was important. You may not know it, but you are important here. Every last one of you is important here. We've always been that way. We've been drawn together as a family with tears and trials and burdens and common enemies sometimes. We've been an enemy to none, but some have been enemies to us. And that's why, folks, this is not a worship service here this morning. We don't have anything like that. We just have three family reunions a week. And that's why we don't come in and to an austere kind of building and with sort of a quiet feeling. But bless God, most of us live around here. It's our second home. It's a family meeting. It's not a place we come to worship God. Blessed be God, most of our people worship God 24 hours a day and 7 days a week and 365 days a year. I think the world's sort of sick of spooky places where people come and spend an hour a week. I think people want to go somewhere where they can feel there's a love and a compassion and a concern that somebody cares. And that's why we don't always have the same kind of services.
You know, around the family circle, sometimes Dad gathers the kids around to spank them. Sometimes he gathers them around to put his arm around them and tell them he loves them. Sometimes he gathers them around to feed them. Sometimes he gathers around to teach them something. Exhort them. I know I've talked to Linda and Cindy a great deal since Thursday about how to drive. And may I say this, folks, be careful. There's not a one of you we need to lose. Watch the other fella. Going out Highway 41, driving that right lane. Don't get over there in the center lane. And don't break your speed. Young people driving out there, don't break the speed limit. Be careful. We need every one of you, and we hope in God's name you can become all that God wants you to become. Be careful. And don't break the laws, and don't be smart alecks, and don't burn a bunch of rubber up. Be careful, we need you. Now let me say this. It's a little harder to be a family now. Wasn't so hard. We had 700 folks in Sunday school, about 300-400 on Sunday night. Wasn't so hard. We had about 200 folks here on Wednesday night, and everybody got sick. I'd go see them myself. But we're mighty big now. This is the largest church in the world as far as number of folks attending is concerned. We have a college, a high school, a grade school. And thank God for those school teachers that haven't come here as a bunch of snobbish big shots, but they've come here as young best people that love God and love us and love our kids and have molded into a unit with us here. Thank God for Mr. O'Clair, who's one of the finest, but I think the finest grade school principal in the world, and Dr. Billings, who has no peer when it comes to knowing education, and Dr. Evans and Dr. Hilton. They're not big shots, just men of God who are trying to help our young people, that's all. It's harder now. I was thinking last night about this, and I was thinking of all the things I've missed. I don't want to be a big shot. I wish I could answer the phone every time it rings. I don't want to not be able to see everybody that needs to see me. I don't want to. And I'd like to be able to go to every hospital and conduct every funeral. I'm booked in appointments right now up into February. And I mean, I go day and night. There's some things you've got to sacrifice when God blesses you and you have thousands of folks. But let's don't sacrifice that sweet spirit we've had all these years. Let's keep the oneness and the tenderness and the love. And let's keep it. When one of us suffers, let's all suffer. When one rejoices, let's all rejoice. I miss... the other night, we had a Halloween party. Some of you folks don't know this. We had a Halloween party. And... Dave asked if I'd put on a costume. And the kids didn't know I was there. And I went... Judge, I'm sorry about this, because you folks are Catholics, and I don't mean to be unkind, but I went as a nun. That did it. That did it. And no joke, some of my young folks went over to one of the Catholic churches, and they were kind, and let them borrow a nun's outfit. I mean, I went in the real stuff, boy. Ain't nothing counterfeit about me. I mean, I'm a first-class nun. Got me a wig and put it on. Shut up, Doc. Got me a long hair, put it on. And got long flowing garb, white thing up here. I walked in, I heard a bunch of kids say, "What do that is?" had one of the little images in my hand, had a cross around my neck, and 400, 500 kids are all of them dressed up in their Halloween outfits, and one of them said, "Who's that? Who's that?" And finally they gave, this is a bought deal, this is an election that was bought, I said it was sure, and so finally they gave out the prize for the best costumes. Guess who won? Long as I'm the boss around here, ain't nobody, I ain't coming in second in nothing. And so,
They got the first three prizes up there and said, "This is the third prize? Well, take off your mask." Some young person took off a mask. "What's your name?" Told them. "Second prize? Take off your mask. Give me your name." Told them. "Now the first prize. Take off your mask." And they went, "Ooh." "Brother Johnson, that was not in the contract when I came here. And I miss the days when I could do that regularly. I miss the days when my office could be, young people could come on Saturday, and didn't have very many young people in those days, and I kept Saturday morning just for the young people. And they could just come, and I'd see them one after the other and talk about all their problems with them. I miss that. We're too big now for that. I wouldn't go back to those old days at all, because I'd rather have what we have now and take the liabilities. And I want you to know, somebody, "Well, I wish we're like it used to be." No, I don't think you would mean that. I sometimes wish it were too in some ways, but I wouldn't trade it for what we have now. But there's one thing we don't have to give up. We don't have to quit loving each other. And we don't have to quit hurting when somebody hurts. We can still be a family. I'm going to close now and then. Since we are in the family, one of our key members has been taken this week. I may be taken next week. It may be you. I hope that when I'm taken from this family, I hope I can go with all the splendor and glory that Mr. Salee went with. I drove in this morning in the mission truck. Don't you think that's beneath my dignity? Pastor of the world's largest church, riding the truck down here, the church on Sunday morning, and rode in the 1965 mission truck. Looks like to me I ought to have a black Cadillac and a chauffeur. Or a Cadillac and a black chauffeur, I'm not sure which, but I ought to have one or the other. But one of the college boys was out waiting to see me. He said, "Could I see you 30 seconds? And I said, "No, I got barely that much, but I'll see you." He said, "You might want this." He said, "I got this out of the car. It's an envelope that was in the car. Has Mr. Salee's blood on it. That's his blood you see right there. And there's a letter on the inside, saturated, still moist, with his blood." This is on the seat of his car. He's just been reading it, I guess. "Mr. Salee, this is just a quick note to let you know I really appreciate you a lot. Your love and dedication to your work has caused me to have a greater zeal for mine. I pray for you often that God will richly bless you, your life, as you so much deserve it. Thank you for letting me be in Dayspring." That's Dayspring Singers, a group of singers at the college. "Thank you for being you. Remember to always keep on keeping on till Jesus comes because of you." And it's not signed by name, it just says a Dayspring Singer. And I thought, I'd like to be that kind of person that remembers people they appreciate. This college student wrote this note of appreciation. He had no idea in a few hours to be bathed in the blood of the man to whom he wrote. You're going to wish one of these days you hadn't criticized that person you look in the casket to see. You're going to wish you'd loved him. You're going to wish one of these days you'd written that note of gratitude to somebody. You're going to wish you'd have said, "I love you." You're going to wish you'd taken time to express devotion. Like, "Oh, it's sissy to cry." Oh, somebody sold you a wooden nickel. It's not. It ought not to be out of date to express our gratitude. And then, as a family, we ought to stay busy until the end.
6:45, Thursday morning, Mr. Salee was taken to heaven.
The last thing you did Wednesday night, or one of the last things, was win a soul to Christ. And one of our daughters said to me last night that they went to the person that was saved Wednesday night, won to Christ, or Mr. Salee Wednesday night, and told them Thursday or Friday that the man that won you to Christ yesterday was killed in a car wreck this morning. What a way to go. What a way to go.
I mean, look, it doesn't matter when you die. It matters how you live.
That's what matters. What are you doing for other people?
What is the life you're living today? What is the message it bears on its way? Others are waiting. What does it say? What is your life? 10,000 times of the die at 32.
Having won a soul the night before and have a flock of people whose lives was blessing,
they'll never be 100 and wasted
and riotous living in sin and loafing and leisure. When the car was hit, somebody who saw the saw it right away said, only one thing was in the middle of the highway, his Bible. His Bible. So I just wanted to chat with you for a while this morning. Tell you I love you. Tell you I thank God for you and pray for you and carry your burden. Wish I could be to you everything you need. Tell you I cry for you. Pray for you. Hurt with you. Thank God for you. And to beseech you and plead with you, let's keep our family as sweet forever as it is now.
Amen.
I believe we can have 50,000 people someday and still have a little church. Amen. Let's pray.